Okay, can you still hear me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I went up from 2 to 9. I gotta go back down to 2. This is like a dream I had once.
I'm on a cruise, doing a podcast.
Yeah, in the background, some people are playing Neil Diamond songs. It's also literally the exact same ship I was on 7 years ago, which is 100% true.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Same ship, different day.
Out of paper, out of stock. There's friendly faces around the block. Break loose from the chains that are causing you pain. Call Michael and Stanley, Jim Dwight Creed, call Andy and Kelly for your business paper needs. Or Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people. Dunder Mifflin, the people versus paper people.
Hello and welcome to the Michael Scott Podcast Company, a show for fans of The Office by fans of The Office. I'm your host and party captain, Sean Roney.
And I'm Edwin James, and I'm your party captain, too.
And with us, as always, our producer, down in the boiler room, singing his ethnic songs, Mr. Alex Ward.
What is the deal with the guy jumping overboard? What was... If he had just waited and heard what I had to say, he would be motivated right now and not all wet.
You guys, it's like we're in high school and we're at the cool table, right?
Oh,
because
yeah.
Today we're talking about the episode Booze Cruise, because our good friend, Mr. Edwin James is...
One of the co-hosts, in fact.
One of the co-hosts is calling in from a cruise right now. Edwin, can you tell us about...
Yeah, believe it or not, I'm staring out the window in my stateroom. I'm watching the majestic Pacific Ocean sail on by... you know, we're doing some heavy cruising. We're doing some light boozing. We didn't want to miss a week in our podcast cadence. So a little difficult to coordinate, but really excited to talk about this episode with all of you today.
Yeah, this is going to be a fun one. Hey. Season 4, episode 1.
Yeah, this is the lengths we go to keep providing content at a consistent pace for you thirsty consumers out there.
That's right. Today we're talking about Booze Cruise, the 11th episode of season 2 of the NBC American version of The Office, written by Greg Daniels, directed by Ken Kwapis. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right.
That's how I always say it in my head.
I think you
say his name.
He directed The Sisterhood of the Traveling Pants and the movie He's Just Not That Into You. Fun fact. And it aired on January 5th, 2006. It is worth noting that this episode guest stars Rob Riggle and Amy Adams.
A couple heavy hitters right there.
We got Rob Riggle That's playing true. The captain of the ship, who was also a ex-Marine, I think, within the show. But in real life, Rob Riggle is an ex-Marine.
That's true.
Yeah, Captain Jack really ended up playing a heavier role in this episode than I remembered. You know, this is one that I haven't seen in quite a little bit, you know, not for any particular reason, but some of the early seasons, I just don't go back and rewatch them as often. But there's so much to unpack in this episode, including the character Captain Jack. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. Of course, the episode starts out with the cold open. Jim has put all of Dwight's items into the vending machines because he knows the guy.
Steve?
That's right. Steve.
Steve.
It's a great way to get that relationship with Jim and the vending machine guy. Oh,
that's a lovely moment. But then of course after the intro, we learn that Michael has planned a trip for the office. He hasn't told anybody what they're doing. They need to pack a swimsuit, a toothbrush, rubber-soled shoes, and a ski mask.
Did you guys catch at the very beginning, while Michael is listing all those things, or while I think Jim is listing all those things, there's a scene of Kevin packing his bag, and he like holds up a bunch of condoms to the camera?
Yeah, it's like a five-pack strip of condoms.
Oh my God.
I've never noticed that before.
Oh yeah. My gosh, I did not even notice that with this rewatch.
Yeah, there's a few things. Well, I'll get to another. When we talk about Captain Jack later, there's another couple things I caught, but... this episode you nailed it, Edwin. This whole episode is Michael versus Captain Jack. And totally. This is like, you know, coming from, this is still season two, and they really departed from the BBC office like we've talked about. But this episode has several callbacks to the BBC office. Obviously, we'll talk about the dance later. But also in the team training episode in the BBC office, it's David Brent versus the guy who's leading the team training. And it's a very similar dynamic going on in this episode. And we've seen story arcs where, like, you know, Michael versus Charles, that last several episodes.
Right, I was just going to say Diversity Day.
Yeah, even, but there's not a ton of other times in the office where we just have kind of these two different leaders in their own right. He's a ship captain and Michael's his manager, butting heads, or at least Michael trying to butt his head into Captain Jack. And Captain Jack is being like, go away, you're annoying.
It's funny that Michael takes the phrase, we're all in the same boat, like literally. You know, and he made it the basis of a leadership parable.
I hope there will be leadership parables. And this episode, by the way, coming off, this is three party episodes in a row in season two, starting with the part Jim's barbecue and then the Christmas party and then this one. Putting those together, what's Jim doing throwing a barbecue in mid-December? At his house, it's weird.
The weather in Scranton is beautiful mid-December. Yeah, I mean, this. So.
And then the Christmas party in this, so we kind of get three episodes in a row of The Office, not really how it usually is, or seeing The Office outside of the confines of there.
It's very fun getting to travel. I mean, I wonder at this point, episode 11, how often we've been outside of The Office with these characters. I mean, besides Jim's. But besides Jim's barbecue, this might be the longest time we spend outside of the office for the first time.
Yes.
It's a bottle episode in a lot of ways.
I'm looking at the season two episode list right now. Yeah, I don't think... I mean, it starts off with the Dundies outside of the office. But then it stays in the office basically up through Jim's party and email surveillance episode 9. So yeah, it's definitely a departure. It was quite a departure for, I think, the real cast, too, because they actually filmed this on a boat, and apparently a bunch of people got seasick.
Right.
So I think for them, and they filmed it from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. It was only at night, so it was, like, totally different for the cast, too. And can sort of feel that. Like, everyone's a little off base. Like, everyone's a little out of their element in this episode.
Yeah, there's that line from Michael where they say, are you taking medication? Brenda from corporate says, are you taking medication? He goes, yeah, vomicillin. Yeah. I think too, I mean, we talk about this notion of a bottle episode, and you know, I think we really see it come to bear with Jim in particular, right? The fact that these characters kind of can't leave, you know, like Jim at the end of this episode, and I don't mean to jump ahead, but like in terms of what happens in the plot, like he can't get away, you know,
right?
Where that's kind of his move. That's his move when Pam and Roy, like later he takes a trip to Australia or whatever, right? Like, it's his move to just kind of escape, to run away, to find a reason to go. And he can't in this moment, which I think is really, really important to the episode.
Yeah, he could have jumped overboard like that other guy that Michael was upset with. but you do bring up a great point. We've talked about a little bit about Captain Jack versus Michael. Michael, of course, always wants to be the center of attention. And now we have Captain Jack, whose job is kind of to... I mean, I would imagine it's his job to run the party. So he's kind of so Michael's literally stepping on his toes there. But
and you can't pick a more boring, like he's like, I need to do my leadership seminar in the middle of this party. Like, it's horrible.
And of course, he's come in with no these are probably things you could have organized ahead of time. But we can only assume that Michael hasn't planned anything.
Right. And it's in January. Because it was cheaper, and he didn't get the private cruise because it was cheaper. So
that's right.
He's trying to do this for almost no money, but is also frustrated when the reasons it's not happening the way he wants are his fault.
But the other main storyline going on here, which is probably the more important storyline for this episode, is kind of what's going on between Jim and Pam, or mostly Jim, maybe. Jim is dating Katie, who's Amy Adams, the purse girl, or hot girl from season one. He's invited her on this cruise. Roy is there, of course, with Pam, and they share this this really bizarre moment where they're all sitting at the same booth together. I quoted earlier Amy Adams talking about how she felt like they're at the cool table, which is a really interesting line. In fact, I feel like this whole interaction between the four of them is really interesting. Like, talking about how they were in high school versus how they are now, and how they all look at that now, right? I mean,
I think the whole episode feels like high school in right. a way. Like,
well, because we often like talk about how Jim seems to be the cool guy in the office, and there's jokes about that in the show, of course. Like, y'all want to listen to some records, like, you right. know, I mean, there's always these jokes that he's the cool guy, but all of a sudden we kind of get this hint that no, maybe he wasn't the cool guy in high school, and Pam certainly wasn't. She was wearing turtlenecks and art, you know, and
that's
loved
Roy says,
art.
Miss Artsy
yeah.
Farts.
Yeah, she was wearing turtlenecks and everything. And Amy Adams is like, "That's hilarious," you know. And
we can assume Roy probably played football, guy that size.
Oh
in
yeah,
high school.
Oh 100%. And that's literally what he's talking about.
Katie
we destroyed
was,
you.
Katie
in
was
high
a cheerleader.
School. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it does sort of feel that way, and it's even funny that like. You know, even like at this point, Ryan is like, "Hey, can I study for my business test tomorrow instead?" Like, there's like all these little elements in high school, and then like their crazy teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, trying to give a thing. Edmund, yeah. Sorry, we've been stepping all over you. Give us your thoughts.
No. I when I talk, I need to have something to say because there's a delay, of course. But But I think this idea that you bring up of high school sort of roles kind of really plays a big part, because when you think about like the fact that Katie is a cheerleader and Roy is a football player,
right.
ostensibly, right?
Yeah.
And that fact that Jim is like, no, she wasn't a cheerleader. And Pam is kind of unapologetic about who she was in high school. I mean, I think that speaks to the fact that Jim and Pam are not with the right people, right?
Oh, yeah.
That Roy and Katie seem almost like they're better fits for each other than they are for Jim and Pam, respectively. Like, it just underscores the fact that they're, like, not in the relationships that fit.
It's kind of a shame that Roy and Katie didn't wind up together, now that you point
yeah,
it out.
Yeah, I guess so, right?
Yeah. They really should have.
Yeah, they connect in that moment. But in that
I
moment,
mean,
we
Roy
also...
Roy could have helped her package up and ship out and coordinate the logistics for her purse business.
Yeah, big That's strong right. guy to carry your purse.
Yeah.
Damn shame. Well, but in that moment, we also see the look on Jim and Pam's faces, too, mm-hmm. that they're uncomfortable in this situation.
And we kind of flirt with a similar moment that happens later in Casino Night when they're out on the deck and Pam kind of gets out of there. And, you know, I think that's the number one function, if you're looking at the entire show arc, of this episode. I think... it's the best episode for showing that Roy and Pam aren't that compatible.
And yet, this is the episode when their relationship takes a big step forward. Maybe
yeah.
the only time in the series, like, they're engaged before the show starts.
Yeah.
Right? So this is kind of the only time we see their relationship take a big step forward, when Roy is talking to Captain Jack and he's telling a war story. And Roy decides that Captain Jack says that all he could think about was his fiance or his girlfriend back
right.
in the States or something like
right.
that. And Roy,
I think he says
drunkenly.
Yes. Okay. I'm glad you brought that. That was another thing I caught.
What?
I'd never caught before. Is he says I was thinking about my first wife.
Oh yeah.
So like. It didn't even work out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like,
it's a romantic story, but...
And at the very beginning, it says my first
he's
wife.
He's had at least
like,
two wives.
Okay. And other than the thing, like, Roy's just drunk. Like, they've been
right.
doing snorkel shots.
Right.
Roy's faded when he asks to set a date. And also, watching back, I don't know how Roy knows what they were talking about, because Roy just comes in.
Yeah.
You were in the Navy? It's just also, like, how does he know? It came from across the boat, drunk as hell.
I'm in the midst of planning a wedding, okay, and like you don't really pick the date out of thin air. Also, that
yeah, just hey, how about June 10th? And
yeah.
you know, Pam's response, which is
turns out it's the Thursday. Yeah,
Pam's response, you know, oh, I want my parents to be here, and as we've
right.
talked about, ironically ends up. marrying GM on a boat without her parents
I
will say, though, it's not totally fair because her whole family is assembled at the church waiting for her. So it's not like she's getting married completely.
That's before her parents' divorce. And...
Yes.
One thing that I wanted to mention about this episode is that, you know, as this happens, like rewatching this episode, I remember the major beats, which is Jim and Katie breaking up. Of course, Michael telling Jim after Jim sort of confides in him that he has a crush on Pam, mm-hmm. or that he had a thing for Pam. He's like, never give up. Right.
Yeah.
Like there's like a real, and then the fact that Jim, and again, to kind of jump to a big moment, like when Pam and Jim are like step outside to have a quiet moment together, mm-hmm. you know, Pam asks Jim, what is it like to date a cheerleader? And Jim starts to talk and then he can't say anything for like a long, long, long time.
Right.
You know,
that Halpert dude, he works with silence. That's his
yeah,
tool.
And
silence.
This episode in particular, you know, is so emblematic of seasons one and two, and that it lives in the small moments. You know, like you think about that silence. You think about the fact that Jim, he can't leave, and he has to watch Roy set a date with Pam, right? And then he gets to hear Michael say, you know, Roy said the first engagement kind of didn't count, and this is the only one that counts, right? Like, you know, all of these barriers that Jim sort of experiences, like he has to deal with and he has to confront, he has to live with in the moment. He can't run away. Mm. Like I think this moment, this episode is just brilliant in general in the way that it makes all these characters kind of confront these things together. And to kind of tag on that, right? This is the only episode where I feel like we really see Pam. I mean, maybe I can think of one other moment, but like where Pam shows real affection to Roy, where she's almost over the moon when Roy wants to set a date. Like she shows that like she does really care for Roy, you know, and that, not that she's just biding her time waiting for Jim.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because and you can see on her face too. I mean, she's even still struggling with how she feels about Roy as it's happening. And you know, it kind of begins with a conversation between Katie and Pam. Katie like idolizes. She's looking up to Pam. She's like, "Wow, I can't wait to be engaged."
Mm-hmm.
You know, what was it like? And she laughs. She's like, "Oh, it's been 3 years. Like, and it's not going to happen any further."
Yeah.
And then of course, like you said, Roy asks her eventually, and then she's staring through the window with Jim going, "Do you think that'll be us someday?" A bold question by Katie.
Yeah. That
really coming in hot. Like, I know they haven't been dating that long, but also if Jim brought Katie to the booze cruise, like where was she at his barbecue? Where was she at all the parties that have happened so far this season? Anyway,
this was the party that he was going to maybe bring her and introduce her to everyone. I feel like this is, I feel like we get a window into what Jim and Pam's generation is like in Scranton, Pennsylvania in this episode.
Yeah.
Beyond any other episode.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just kind of like you get this idea of like, they think is expected of them versus, you know, where they are now, right? Just that they seem to still care about high school and things like that. And maybe Pam is trying to move on from her art mm-hmm. school, like, persona and trying to be with the football player and pretend that she's happy when he calls out a date for them to get married. I don't know. It's watching it again was like, wow, you really learn a lot about their scenario because mm-hmm. we usually only watch Jim and Pam interact with the people in the office.
Yeah. Tough look for Jim too, breaking up on a boat, man.
Yeah. There's something crazy too. What I love, I kind of love the moment when Jim breaks up with Katie. And it goes back to that. I love the bleak moments of the show, but
I'm really sorry. I'm bumping up against my heart out for this episode. I know it took us a while to get on the call.
It's quite all right.
A for couple sure. closing notes for me. Yeah. I want you to keep talking about this episode.
We will. Okay? Tell us. Give us your thoughts.
Okay, this is one of the best episodes of season two because we see real emotional revelation of the characters. Jim saying that he has feelings for Pam to Michael is the first admittance of that, right? And there's an amazing shot, and this kind of jumps back to something earlier in the conversation, where Pam is framed with Roy, but Roy's face is not in the frame. It's just Pam's face, right? And she's kind of up against his shoulder. And she says, like, no, I want my mom and dad to be there. And we see this kind of joy in her, and you see Jim in the background, like, kind of having to deal with it, you know? And then beyond that, like, I think we see a lot of Michael kind of raging against the machine. And, you know, Sean, you talk a lot about, you know, how much we love the first two seasons, right? And I think this is one thing that I realize is, like, why this episode is so brilliant and why I love it so much personally is that it's not complicated. The A story is Michael versus everything, right? And the B story is Jim and Pam. There's no, like, Aaron and Phyllis.
Yeah.
Is Phyllis Aaron's mom? You know, Kevin is trying to do whatever. Daryl is, like, there's no C story.
Dwight's
no.
trying to steer the boat. Effect.
Yeah, there's a yeah. little bit of Dwight.
Yes, that's true. But that's not a plot point. There's no stakes, right?
No.
Like, it's uncomplicated, even though there's a ton of content to mine. There's a ton of emotional depth there. Of course, we have Michael dancing, which is one of the all-time great moments of the show. just in general, the sort of unlikely wisdom of Michael to say, like, never, never give up, you know, something that comes from an unexpected source.
So she's engaged.
See from Michael time and again throughout the show.
Yeah. It's sort of his unbridled confidence being channeled in kind of a useful way of, like, who cares? Like, go for it.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So really quickly, before I log off, I have an Easter egg that I wanted you guys to use for conference room. I'm sorry we don't have enough time to get into it right
conference
now.
Conference room.
It's in season 8. And I want you guys to look it up and talk about it. But
yeah,
there's a moment. It's the list, right? Where they find Robert California's list.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
And they're like, it reminds me of Dwight's lists, which are like, and Dwight's like, this is who would survive on a cruise ship if we were in life rafts. This is who would survive in a cruise ship if we were in life boats. And, like, I want you guys to look at that moment, look at the screenshot, and look at who's in each boat, because it's hysterical. You should look it up.
Oh, shoot.
I will.
Okay. All right. We're going to look it up right now. Edwin, thank you so much for calling in, buddy, and give our love to your family.
All right. Appreciate you guys. I'll see you soon.
Bon voyage.
As mysteriously as arrived, he was gone.
Then he was gone. It's just you and me now.
First time it's just been you and me.
And the listener.
Yeah.
I was going to say that I do like the times when you can directly watch one character get shafted by another and then they turn around and do it to another person.
Yeah.
I like those moments. Do you watch BoJack Horseman?
I saw season 1 and some of season 2.
Yeah, later in the show, they just get so good at that. And just like watching cruelty kind of like drip through.
I don't watch that much, but I do watch It's Always Sunny a ton, and it's also very visible in that show.
Yeah. I love moments
cycles
like
of
that.
Violence.
And it's when Jim watches that happen with Pam and then turns around, it is just so cold.
Yeah.
To Katie.
Yeah.
Is definitely one of those moments.
Yeah. And then it's funny because that all happens and it pushes Jim out on the deck with Michael, who's in a zip tie from Captain Jack, by the way, who's
in the brig.
Yeah. Which is like, I don't know how legal that is, but it's funny because all that happens and it kind of pushes Jim all the way to the bottom where he hits against Michael and kind of bounces back. Like Michael sort of reinstills a little hope in Jim. And you see that when he's like you said, BFD, engaged, ain't married. And Jim's just like,
yeah. Yeah.
Like
BFD, of course, big fucking deal.
Yeah. Whoa. Wow.
Freaking deal.
You know, we got a voicemail from a 12-year-old who loves our show.
Uh oh.
So you need to apologize. Now I'm sure 12-year-olds these days know it all.
What are you, 12?
Shout out though. I do want to acknowledge that we got that voicemail. And we're probably going to do an episode on what he brought up.
Okay.
Just some Creed stuff.
Okay. So
we'll talk
today.
About that later. No.
Okay. Great. I'm excited.
But we should talk about, I will play the voicemail of that we got who agreed with you about Pam's speech.
Oh, good.
We'll do that. We'll do that later in the show.
Okay.
Conference room, 5 minutes.
I do want to touch on the conference room since Edwin brought it up, brought it before we left. I have the screenshot here. So again, this is from season 8, episode 1, like you said, in the list. And Dwight has a large book of various groupings of people in the office for whatever emergency scenario might happen. and how he thinks the office should be divided.
Yeah.
So this is if we were all on a cruise ship and we had to divide into life rafts. Raft one is this. So he must have done this. He must have written this a long time ago because it says it's Dwight, Karen, Angela, Pam, and Kelly. It's literally just...
Wait, Dwight, Angela, Karen, Pam.
It's Dwight with all of the single women at the time.
That's funny.
We could assume he did this in season three because Karen's here. Dwight and all the women. In Raft two... He puts Bob, I'm guessing Bob Vance,
mm-hmm.
Roy, Stanley, Calvin, we don't know, and Jim.
Calvin.
So I'm guessing that's all the men who might be able to physically best Dwight. He wants all of them together on one raft.
Okay.
He's basically made himself the alpha male.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's put all the other males who would compete with him on this other raft.
Yeah, yeah. They can all compete.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Raft three is Jan, Andy, and Toby. Leftovers.
Andy and Toby. Okay.
Raft four is Gil, David, Wallace, Packer, and Creed. Isn't that weird? Now, if they're on lifeboats, which I'm guessing are bigger.
Right.
I'm not sure.
Okay.
It's still Dwight, Angela, Pam, and Kelly. Then on Karen. Lifeboat two, he's got Madge, Calvin, Jim, Creed, and Daryl. Lifeboat three is Jan, Oscar, Karen, and Packer. Hmm. My guess is he's making up couples there. I'm not sure. Lifeboat four, Stanley, Roy, Michael, Bob, and Toby. So
Bob Vance?
Yeah. It's a weird list.
It's a weird list.
He's not just doing Dunham Mifflin Scranton. Yeah. He's doing the office park.
Yeah.
Everyone included.
Oh, okay.
And then some significant others like Gil.
Yeah.
Anyway. And David Wallace.
Where's Dave Kress?
Maybe it's not David Wallace. Anyway,
that's a good one. Thanks, Edwin.
It does actually apply to this episode. So
that's a good one. I liked it.
Can
we do our segment of please leave a message for Andy Bernard?
Oh yes. Let's do that. Before we get to that.
Okay. Oh, sorry.
Before we get to that, real quick.
Yeah.
A couple more notes on Booze Cruise just to wrap up the episode.
Yeah, of course.
According to Greg Daniels in the DVD commentary, the script initially had a storyline depicting Oscar as a, quote, nasty drunk, which was cut for time. You got to assume if they'd established that this early in season two, that would have carried on.
He wouldn't.
Because I don't think he is.
No, he's
at
not.
All.
No.
Obviously, when Michael says it's a Booze Cruise, we see Meredith give an audible like yes, she's the only one, like it's well established Meredith, but I guess maybe they wanted Oscar to do it.
I love hearing things like that because it just goes to show how these things just developed over time, you know.
Right.
There wasn't any plan for who was going to be what. It was as the actors and the writers and directors got to know each other, they created these personas.
It evolves over time.
I love that.
And it's like early on, if they'd made that choice with Oscar, they probably would have had to keep going with it. I'm glad they didn't.
Yeah.
A real January booze cruise on that lake would have been impossible. The lake is frozen over. all boats must be removed from that lake by October.
Mm.
As you said, Captain Jack said he was in charge of a Navy PC-1 Cyclone class patrol ship during Desert Storm. And Rob Riggle, as you said, was in the Marine Corps. From 1990 to 2013.
Wow.
That's 23 years.
That's crazy.
He has a large, authoritative presence. And that's who he was on The Daily Show, like right from the beginning, was like very serious, cut and dry, like newsman looking guy.
My goodness.
But 23 years in the Marine Corps.
I guess you can still be in it and keep acting. And
yeah.
Okay.
We should talk about Michael's dance just a little bit.
Mm.
Just as a pure unleashing of Steve Carell's physical comedy. In almost every shot of that dance, someone is cracking in the background. It's usually the band. You see Jim start to crack. You see other people, because he does a lot of moves where he kind of spins around. I think he's looking at people.
Yeah.
And again, this is another echo to Ricky Gervais in the BBC office. who has a very famous dance scene in that. That is, it's funny. It's even funnier than this dance, if that's even possible. But again, everyone's breaking in it, and it was like, ride that back. Let's get Steve Carell to do.
Anytime Steve Carell is dancing, his dance montage when they introduce Cafe Disco is my favorite part of that episode, and yeah,
he has there's this enthusiasm, but he's kind of a bit of an awkward dancer.
Yeah, he's got this weird like swing.
Yeah, like he's clearly never danced with someone. It's really sad. It's like,
oh god,
the dance floor just clears immediately. And he refers to it as an ancient art form. You know, like we
the
stopped
song
doing it
that they're
time.
Playing too is so bizarre. It's like a medley of like,
yeah.
There's like a.
Is it like a Ricky Martin song or something?
Yeah.
No. It's.
It's Sean Paul.
Sean Paul.
Wow.
It's a cover of Sean Paul.
That's crazy. But then it does kind of go into like an Egypt.
Kind of goes all over.
Like ancient Egypt riff.
Uh huh.
It's a weird song.
And I believe one of the deleted scenes, Creed picks up a guitar, and we actually get to see
That's
Creed
right,
play
he
some
does,
blues
yeah.
guitar.
Yeah.
He's quite good.
It's a shame.
Yeah.
Deleted.
Anyway, what do you think the best scene in this episode is? Or your favorite, I guess.
I just like the part that's just that shot of Dwight steering the boat, singing. What? Do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor?
Yeah,
I love that part. I don't know. I think I might.
Angela's like, hey, come inside with me. And he's like, I can't. I have to steer the ship. Pans up to the guy steering the ship at the top.
Like a guy in like...
I love, too, that he's like, I was the youngest pilot in Pan Am history. Like, when I was 8, they let me go in and drive the plane in the cockpit. He's like, I would have landed it, too. But my dad wanted me to come back to the seat. One more thing, actually, now that we're on Dwight's parents. In the opening, one of the things in the vending machine that Jim has put all Dwight's things in the vending machine, one of them is a framed picture.
Oh.
With what I can only assume are Dwight's parents with Dwight.
Like, you mean Rainn Wilson's real
I think
parents,
it
maybe?
It could be. Whatever he has on his desk. But, like, they're dressed. Like, this is not the childhood that Dwight describes. And like you said, this is early on in season 2. The full character of Dwight hasn't been...
Yeah. Realized. Yeah.
So they're just like, let's use a family picture.
Oh.
Because I'm sure if they did that episode later and they put a framed picture, it would be like a black and white, really morose.
Right.
Everyone in suits.
The pitchfork.
Yeah. And like little Dwight is sitting there in a little suit.
Yeah.
Everyone's stone faced. Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Anyway, yes. Let's move on, of course, and check our voicemail machine.
Yeah, that was great.
Message for Andy Bernard.
This is Emily calling from Vermont. I just wanted to echo from the Beach Games episode. Pam's speech is the worst. Well, maybe not the worst, but it's pretty bad, especially how she walks away at the end before people can actually stand up and say, hey, I didn't like what you said, or that's not fair, or anything like that. So I just wanted to call in and echo. Couldn't agree more. Pam's speech is... also, I wanted to say thank you guys so much for having this podcast. It's amazing. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Emily, thank you so much. Oh, my gosh. Oh.
Sean is not alone in the woods.
Thank you, Emily. Yes, Pam just bounces after that. She doesn't even wait for like, she's
no
like,
dialogue.
Well, what do you guys think about it?
any rebuttals?
I would think that would have shown a little bit more strength. Maybe if because I do think that people, let me say this. I'm a fan. I'm on a lot of fan sites on social media and stuff like that. And I see a lot of people who like to post like, oh, I hate this moment. Oh, I hate this moment. And people come back and say, hey, this isn't a hate group. This is a fan group. Okay.
Yeah.
So I feel bad on this fan show saying that I don't like a certain part, especially when that part is kind of a contested part in the show. I think that, you know, Greg Daniels and some of the show runners have said in the past that, you know, they think that, you know, they hear a lot of this Pam hate and they're like, oh, isn't that interesting that you guys don't like the parts where Pam stands up for herself? I think that Emily's on my side a little bit here and saying like, no, we wanted to actually see her fight for it. And she just kind of walks over, gets a quiet moment to just rattle off everything she thinks. And then there's almost no reaction or repercussions from that. And so in a way it kind of made it feel like nothing.
But people do kind of make fun of Pam in the show later on.
Right. Oh, yes.
I mean, there are a little bit of repercussions.
Yeah.
You know? And it does cause Michael to you know, as we talked about earlier, he's like, Pam inspired me. I'm going to say what I think.
Right, right.
And Oscar, they, you know, she's in the break room. But you're right. I mean, there's no other, there's very few parts outside of Michael where someone gets up and has a heartfelt speech to the rest of the office.
Right.
It almost never happens.
Yeah. And,
look, we're just playing this because someone was on your side enough that they called in, enough that they took the time to call in the voicemail, and we love it.
Emily, thank you so much. I
mean, you guys are both wrong, but...
Emily, I wish you were here.
Well, she's in Vermont.
But thank you so much for calling in with that message. That's awesome. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Hey, you want to do some trivia? No Edwin. No safety net.
Okay. All right. Here we go. I'm going to get all of these wrong. Let's go.
Let's just do our thing, collect our hardware, and get the hell home.
Let's see. So this is all from Booze Cruise.
Okay.
So hopefully you did watch it recently.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Sean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, you'll like this actually from working in the art department. But this is actually one of the few times in the vending machine at the very beginning they haven't created. Maybe they didn't have the budget yet to make fake products in there. So there's real products in there.
Yeah.
We see four name brands,
including
Jim's Eating at the beginning.
Okay,
what are they?
Is he having hers?
No, he's having Doritos. Seven Doritos. Okay, we also see Odwalla Bites. We see Cheetos and Chex Mix. But when I froze the frame to look at what was in there, it'll be like the Cheetos, but over the S, they've put these little stickers. Just clearly someone slapped stickers on those bags.
So in the art department, I work in the art department. So that's all the props, set dressing, graphics, and stuff
that. You do that for TV and movies, not for The Office. Right.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We call it greeking. I don't know why.
Huh.
But you have to greek products. It's a verb, greeking.
Wow.
I'm sure there's a good reason for it. But in film and TV, there's a lot of like things that people just started saying that they thought were cool, and then it became the phrase for no reason. You know,
it's like all lingo. And,
you know, in the grip department, there's a best boy, and you know, there's all these silly things. But greeking. So those are greeking stickers.
Gotcha.
What we call
okay.
them. You know, you mask out part of the part of the logo.
It was just funny. No attempt to like cover up that it's clearly Doritos. They just took the last letter away.
That's what they do. Usually you'll see them turn them around.
Yeah.
So like anytime you see a bag of chips or a drink like facing the camera or turned away from the camera, that's totally deliberate. So
In the rest of the scenes in the Booze Cruise, like everyone's drinking beer and almost all the bottles are turned away from the camera.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Even when there's five bottles on
them's the rules.
Yeah. All right. Maybe you can just name me three of these things. Which of Dwight's things are in the did Jim put in the vending machine?
Oh, his Rolodex is in there.
No.
His stapler's in there.
There's one.
His little nameplate.
Yep, that's two.
His calculator.
I didn't see the calculator in there. It could be, but I didn't see it.
His...
Pam buys it. I love these. She buys it. Dwight's like, hey, that's mine. She's like, well, I just bought it. Also, it's also he goes to pay for it, and he doesn't have his...
his wallet's in
yeah,
the
Yeah, there you
machine.
Go, his wallet. There's three.
What's the thing?
The pencil cup.
Okay, okay.
His sheriff's deputy's mug
okay, okay.
is in there. You said his nameplate, that frame picture I said earlier.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And then a bobblehead of a catcher, Mike Lieber.
Oh, yeah, okay. I should have said bobblehead, of course.
But not the Dwight bobblehead.
No.
Of a baseball player.
No.
I
don't think...
And I need some help from the listeners on this. So again, this is cold open in Booze Cruz. Freeze frame it when they show all of Dwight's things. There's something in the top left. I stared at it for so long. I have no idea what it is. It almost looks like a grenade, but it's not.
Mm.
Or it looks like a... I don't know what it is. It's a weird object, something Dwight would have, but I have no idea what it is. So
there's is it a grenade paperweight? There's...
No, I mean, it's not a grenade. It's obviously not a grenade, okay. But it does look like there's a some kind of like thing you'd hold down on the side, and like I don't know what it is.
Okay,
but I need some help with someone out there. Find out what
someone
that
knows
is.
What this
Let
thing
us know.
Is. Please,
yes. What's the name of the lake that they're on in this episode?
Lake, is it Lackawanna Lake?
No.
Okay, I don't know.
Nick Wallum Paul Pack.
Wallum,
PAUPAK, Lake Wallum Paul Pack.
Okay.
Lake Wallum Paul Pack. Yes. The Lake Wallum Paul Pack Princess is the boat name.
Mm.
So there you go.
Mm.
Edwin mentioned that the lady from corporate is named Brenda, who has like two lines in this. And it's like, I don't know. I think she's only there as a plot device to like keep pushing Michael to like get up and it was weird. What was the theme of last year's retreat?
Shoot.
Oscar says it. He's like, guess where we went?
It's I don't remember.
Bowl over the competition.
guess where we went?
What high school did Katie go to?
Bishop O'Hara.
No.
Pislop Hukerza? Wait, are you sure? Wait.
Okay, here's why. It's the same sounding name, but in the captions.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't say Bishop O'Hara, so maybe it's just, it says Fisher Bohara.
Oh.
Now, it does seem like Bishop O'Hara is way more of the realistic name.
Yeah.
But according to the script, according to the words, it was Fisher Bohara.
According to the, wow, okay, well, I wonder if Bishop O'Hara is a real high school in Scranton, maybe.
Could be. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't look up, that was just what it said. You know, I got to watch with the captions on. You got to pick those up.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. What date does Roy set the wedding for?
June 4th.
June 10th.
Damn it.
And Michael casts the office as Gilligan's Island as they're walking into the boat.
Right, right. He is Gilligan.
No, Michael's a skipper.
Oh, okay.
Dwight is Gilligan.
Okay.
Angela is Miss Howell. Pam is Marianne.
Stanley's one of the Globetrotters.
Stanley's one of the Globetrotters. Jim is the professor, Katie is Ginger, and Kelly is the native.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and he, like... And then, he says the thing about that, oh, maybe the warehouse is the furnace room. After he's talking about, like, singing their songs down there, and Brenda, like, notes it down. And he's like, no, don't. I don't. I can't.
Don't note that.
Yeah, Michael has... You know, this is early office. He has some bad moments.
Do you know who the actress is... Who plays Brenda? Why is she there? Do you know this? Well, this is not fair.
Oh.
This is a little
I don't
factoid
know.
For
no,
you.
No, I don't.
So, the actress who plays Brenda in this episode is Mindy Kaling's roommate at the time. And they had a two-woman play called Ben and Matt, which was about... Matt Damon and Ben Affleck's friendship. And Greg Daniels' wife took him to see the show. And Mindy Kaling got hired from that. And then Brenda eventually got this role, this small role. Yeah.
So do you think Brenda was meant to have a larger, more of an ongoing role?
I don't think so. Okay. I think it was a little nod of like, hey, let's get, you know, hey, this would be a great part for Brenda. But anyways, that was
I see.
Ryan sent me that little factoid, which was which I did not know, of course.
Well, there you go.
Fun. Hey, this has been a lot of fun talking about Booze Cruise. If you...
Thank you for making some time on his own Booze Cruise.
Calling in from his Booze Cruise. Guys, please hit us up on Facebook. Hit us up on Twitter at Michael Scott Pod. Hit us up on Instagram at Michael Scott Podcast Company. And we have a phone number that you can call, just like Emily from Vermont displayed earlier. We can you can call in and leave us a message. That's 503-694-9314.
We tried to guess that number when we were at the lake.
Yeah.
We were so wrong.
So wrong? Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
Well, please call in, leave us a comment, leave us a question. We'll play it on the show.
Next week, Edwin's back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I just got back from vacation.
Mm-hmm.
Guess which episode we're talking about next week?
Oh, shit.
So
it's going to be back from vacation.
Sean. So, hey, watch that episode before next week's episode comes out on Wednesday. In the loop.
Thank you guys so much for listening. We'll see you next week.
Pippity poppy, give me the sovereign.
Yes, sir.
And communicate!
Sometimes you have to take a break from being the kind of boss that's always trying to teach people things. Sometimes you have to just be the boss of dancing.
Wait. Don't skip ahead just yet. I know you were about to. Chances are, if you're listening to this podcast, then you'll love mine too. If you like podcasts that break down all of your favorite water cooler reality TV shows like The Real Housewives or big budget movies like Wakanda Forever, then this is the podcast for you. Subscribe to my podcast, Reality and Comics 2, and listen to episodes like my interview with Robin Dixon of The Real Housewives of Potomac or my interviews with your favorite bombshells from Love Island USA. That's Reality and Comics 2. And I'm Kendrick. See you there.